Good morning, men. It's good to see you all this morning. Boy, I'm excited about this last day of the year and what we're going to be talking about today and launching our theme for next year. Several of our locations are watching the live stream this morning with us. And so hello to you guys online, hello to you guys here in person, and hello to you several hundred men who will watch this talk over the next 45 to 90 days. On October 6th, 1536, a man was taken from his jail cell where he had been held. He was tied to a post and unceremoniously strangled to death. And after being strangled, his body was burned in the fire. This man's name is William Tyndale. He lived in a time when it was forbidden to translate the Bible into English. But Tyndale believed that everyone should have access to the Word of God, to the Bible. And so regardless of the law, he translated the Bible into English and he printed the Bible. Why is that a significant event in history? Why is it so important to us that Tyndale stood firm in his convictions, stood on principle? It's important because his radical self-sacrificing action made the Bible available to us in English. And for us today, in our time, it gives us access to the Word of God. It gives us access to what we believe, this very foundation upon which we stand. And so Tyndale, in my opinion, was a man of conviction and a man to be strongly admired because he did what he knew to be right, regardless of the personal consequence that came upon him later on and before he, as he died. This morning I want to remind us of something that was sent in a letter to some people at a place called Corinth. And the letter was sent by the Apostle Paul to a church who had backslid. It was sent to a people who had backslid. You know, Paul had been in Corinth and he preached from this Bible that I was just talking about, this foundation of truth that we stand upon today. He preached that gospel message to the people there in Corinth, and they had accepted it, and it changed their lives. They had stood firmly on the faith that had been delivered to them. But you know, Paul moved on to another church, and others came and others preached, and the people backslid. They had moved away from the faith that they had accepted. They were more influenced by the culture. They were more influenced by their unbelieving friends. They were more influenced by their neighbors. And that influence caused them to change. They slid back into the way they had lived before. Their neighbors would say to them, "Do you really believe all this stuff? Do you believe that this thing is so radically different than what the rest of us are doing? Do you really believe that stuff? Look at all the good times we're having. Look at all the things we're doing, the things you used to do, and you no longer do." And they would say, "There are so many of us, and there are so few of you to believe this way. Why do you think it's this and not that?" And this is the culture that these people were living in. And the pressure of the culture pushed in on them. And they started to slide back into the way they had lived before. And so the Apostle Paul knew that this was happening. He heard what was happening from the other people who were there. So the most serious problem that these people had in their lives was their unwillingness to divorce themselves from the pressure of the culture. It pushed down on them. And certain times they were unable to resist the pressure. They become worldly minded. And so most of the believers there could not consistently separate themselves from their old ways, from their old selfishness, from their old immoral ways, from their old pagan ways. And because of their condition, they would not take a stand on anything. Look at the culture that we live in today. When a man has conviction and pushes back on the culture, it brings problems for him, doesn't it? Well, these people were in the same type of a culture, and it was their conviction, their stand was causing problems for them. For them, little was certain and absolute. and much was relative and tentative. They lacked conviction. So Paul, in his great love for these people, he wrote them this letter. And in this letter, he corrected them. He reminded them of who they were. He reminded them about the things they had learned, the truth that they had accepted, and how it had changed their lives. So in the first 15 chapters of the book of 1 Corinthians, Paul is teaching them, reteaching them. He's rebuking them. He's reminding them of who they were. And then at the end of the book of 1 Corinthians, this is what he says to them in verse 16 and verse 13. Listen to his admonition to them. Be on the alert. Stand firm in the faith. Act like men. Be strong. Paul wrote these words to these people because they had not been on the alert. They had not been standing firm in the faith. They had not been acting like men, and they certainly had not been strong. And he knew that about them. And so he wrote this letter to remind them of the truth. He called this truth the faith. He said, stand firm in the faith. That was the primary reason for writing the letter to them. And then he wrote, now that you remember who you are, now that you remember the truth that you accepted, the truth that changed your life, stand firm in it. Don't waver. Stand firm in it. So the question we need to answer next is, what is the faith? Now, Paul didn't say stand firm in your faith. He said stand firm in the faith. Well, each man can have faith. Faith is a gift given to us. Ephesians 2, 8, 9 says that. But that's not what Paul is talking about. He's talking about the faith. He's talking about the gospel message. He's talking about what the Word of God says, the gospel that brings mankind salvation. That is the faith, the general faith, the big picture faith, the gospel that was given to us. And that, as I said, is that very foundation that believers stand upon. Jude, the half-brother of Christ, wrote about this, and I want you to listen to this because I think it'll bring a little clarity to the situation and help you understand what I'm saying here. This is what Jude wrote. Dear friends, in a general epistle, general letter to any believer, although I was very eager to write to you about the salvation we share, I felt compelled to write and urge you to contend for the faith that was once entrusted to God's holy people. To contend for the faith. Or as another version says, I was compelled to write to you to contend for what was once and for all handed down to the saints. What is Jude saying? Jude's writing into the culture also. And he was saying, stop. Think. Think about the truth that you received. You live in a time, you live in a culture where it is going to fight you. It is going to push you away from the truth that you know. I want you to contend for that. And that word contend means to strive for. That word contend means to fight for. Jude knew it was going to be a battle. And it is a battle for every one of us, isn't it? To contend for the faith. Jude reminds us that we are in a war for our allegiance, either to the God of our faith or to the God, little g, of this world. So there is a war. There's a war raging around us all the time, and Satan and society and culture, they're trying to obscure the content of the faith, which is the Word of God. They want us to believe that it's not true. Oh, this can't be true. Look at what everybody else is doing. It can't be that. It has to be this. This thing that everybody else is doing, this thing that's the most popular thing to do, this new way of thinking, tries to obscure the truth of Scripture. Our culture is so very similar to the culture there in Corinth. Paul's letter, I think, should speak to every one of us just as it did to the people there who received it in 54 AD. If we don't hold fast to the truth of God's Word, we are certain to slip. We're going to slip into wrong thinking, wrong behavior, wrong beliefs, just like those people did. Last Friday, as Todd mentioned, General Bob Deese, Major General Bob Deese, came and spoke to us at our Leadership Circle breakfast. And one of the things he said to me just absolutely stuck in my mind. He paraphrased a quote from a guy named Jason Godwise. I'm going to read the whole quote to you, and then we're going to go back to the line that General Deese shared with us. This is what the quote actually says. A tree falls the way it leans. Make sure you are leaning in the direction you want to fall, because sooner or later, everyone falls. That's true, isn't it? Right? One out of one men die, don't they? And when we die, regardless of who we think we are going to fall in the direction we're leaning. And so General D said, we fall the way we lean. It's a truth, isn't it? We will fall the way we lean. When you think about it, in the end, there's only two ways you can fall. You, men, either fall into the culture, you fall into judgment, or you fall into the kingdom, you fall into the arms of the Messiah. There's only two ways you fall. Our goal here at Friday Morning Men's Fellowship is to strengthen men, help them to stand firm so that at the end of their life, when they fall, which we will, we fall into the kingdom, we fall into the arms of our Messiah, and not into the culture, and not into condemnation. That is our goal. So this morning we're going to announce our theme for 2024. Our theme for next year is going to be stand firm. Standing firm in that faith that Paul is talking about as he wrote this letter to these people in Corinth, knowing that they were slipping, they were backsliding, and they were in trouble. And in his tremendous love for these people, what did he do? He wrote them this beautiful letter. And so we are going to spend in this next year 15 weeks, hopefully together, going through the first epistle to the church at Corinth, talking about the exact same issues that we deal with in our day. That is what he wrote about. And so we're going to examine it, we're going to pick it apart, and we're going to look at it and see how it applies to our life to help us to be men who stand firm on the faith once delivered to us. We are going to give you everything you need. The talk will be delivered. The week in advance, the table leader will have the discussion guide so that you can talk, you can review it and get ready for the discussion. All you have to do is come, watch the talk, sit down to your table, and go through the discussion. I think it's going to be very helpful for you. So I'm hoping that every man, every location, will go through this together for this first 15 weeks of the year. You know, William Tyndale was a man who stood firmly on what he believed. He was a man of conviction, and his convictions gave us the English Bible. And that Bible that he died for, to put in our language, is a Bible that we're going to look at, particularly the Epistle to the Corinthians for the first 15 weeks of next year. And our goal, as I said, is to help us to be men, be leaders who stand firm on the truth of God's Word. I hope you'll join. Father, we thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your Word delivered to us by the blood of many men, so that we could have it, so we could understand it, and so we could live by it. Help us to be men in this next year, Father, who stand firm on the faith, on the truth that was delivered to us. We pray this in your Son's name. Amen.